Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Absolutely. Drops at 7 a.m. on all your favorite podcast streets, avenues?
Yes.
Vendors?
All your favorite podcast vendors. They'll definitely have it tucked in the trench coat for you to grab at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We got a, not a back-to-back, but a double header against the OKC Thunder. So we're going to be previewing that, talk about what we need to do well in this one, as well as what could go wrong, talk about a few key matchups you want to keep an eye on. And then in segment two, we're kind of talking about, have the Clippers figured it out?
A classic What You Say Wednesday poll that we asked, I think, on the first day of the season.
Yeah.
How many games you give for the Clippers to figure it out? And we're actually past, you know, the final choice for that almost. So there's some interesting data to go over.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to talk about that because I, for one, thought that it was going to take much longer to even look like we were figuring it out. And then we got some shavings for you, which is just kind of where we wrap up sort of everything else around the NBA. We're going to talk about the MVP disrespect for quiet. For
get those
quiet
bets in now.
I've got a weird conspiracy for y'all to chew on. And then it's Friday, so every single Friday we do a Love, Mary, Quarantine. It's where we rank something arbitrarily related to the Clippers.
It's always Clippers.
And we're either loving it, we're marrying it, or we're quarantining it, which means get it the heck away from us. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so we're going to preview the Clipper versus Thunder double up tour, as I'm deciding to call it.
I like that. That's better than doubleheader.
Yes. Thunder have lost 3 out of their last 4. Bit of a weird team.
On a slide.
Yeah, on a slide. Clippers, the complete opposite, rolling with a 5-game win streak, and there's no injuries for the Clippers. The Thunder will be without Al Horford, who has remained kind of out for a while for personal reasons, which everybody's okay over there.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of unclear. I was looking at a Thunder blog. Shout out Thunder blogs. just in general. And they were saying, it isn't COVID from what sources are saying, because they would designate that most likely. But yeah, it's not super clear what his timetable for return is.
Tough. Let's get into what we need to do well to beat these Thunder. Again, we play on Friday and on Sunday. So, I mean, worst case scenario, I feel like we split this. Best case scenario, we win both.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem too crazy. So the Thunder, what we need to do well is we can't let them get hot from three early.
Yeah.
They take the 5th most threes.
But have one of the worst percentages.
Yeah, they take 39 threes, but they hit them at 33%, which is 28th in the league. So, and the interior game isn't really there. They take the 3rd least 2-point attempts in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, if they get hot from three early, that's the situation where I see us having to play some kind of catch-up. Because they take a ton of threes. If they happen to make them, they're a young team, as we know. Shea, Dort. They have guys who can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be trouble. But Kawhi has looked like he's starting to get to 100%. So this is a good chance for him to kind of do more Kawhi things on defense.
Definitely. Definitely. I think that we need to play to our strengths, use our size kind of against this team.
Yeah, they don't have any size.
Yeah, in the absence of Horford, not a whole lot of size going on there. This was already a team that's struggling to score in the paint. They're one of the bottom teams in that regard. So, yeah, we need to do that. And then also just as a general thing, control the pace. This is a team that plays a little faster than us.
They're like top 10 in pace, I think, right?
They're sitting at 8. So yeah, they're right up there. And they're also weirdly, one of the things they're the best at is defending the fast break. They're allowing the least amount
of astonishing.
Yeah, they're allowing the least amount of points per game on the fast break. They've got some fast guys. Obviously, we all know and love Shea.
Yeah.
But Diallo is great. Dortz can be a great defensive guy.
Yes.
The
Haitian sensation, I believe. Shout out Big Wass for that one. We got to destroy them on the boards. They're dead last in opponent true total rebounds per game. Teams grab 50 boards a game against the Thunder, which is quite a bit of
damn.
We're still 28th in total rebounds per game, but we have a chance to move up to like 24th or something. And if we do it, the game is going to be easier than obviously if we don't. And we rank first in total rebounds per game for our opponents. We're only giving up 40 boards a game.
Which is sometimes, we were talking about this pre-podcast, like some stats jump out at you because it seems like sometimes teams are getting infinite offensive rebounds, but it's like just because I'm being overly critical.
Exactly. So we can make a difference on the glass and really take it to them.
Definitely. And then we got to keep the ball moving. Look, obviously the field goal percentages are going to fall back to earth. That's fine.
Maybe.
That's
one or of those, they get better.
That's one of those things that we don't really have any control of, but we are firmly in the driver's seat. Hey, anybody remember that one?
I don't. I choose not to remember that.
As to the quality of the shots that we're generating, so we got to keep the ball moving there. They have some versatile covers, like I said, and they are just outside the top 10 in opponent effective field goal percentage, which... I don't know how that works.
I think Kawhi's going to take that rating down a bit.
Yeah. Which that is probably more due to some outlier games because I think they have like the 27th ranked like opponent's points per game.
Plus
So anyways, without getting into too much of it, we just got to keep the ball moving. Long story short.
Yeah. What could go wrong in this one? Just turnovers in general, lackadaisical play. I don't want us to have to need a good third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like it if we were playing well in the first half, and then, hey, oh, the third quarter was also great. Like, that would be nice, as opposed to kind of needing to come out and, like, get back on track in the third quarter against this one.
They beat the Nets in the second half of that game, and basically what happened was there was, like, 8 possessions where the Nets didn't really produce something.
Yeah.
And that was enough. Like, the game was over at that point.
Yeah, it's so interesting, and, like, we're only 12th on turnovers per game, which is surprising, I think.
To the eye test, very.
It feels like our turnovers come in bunches, so we just can't give this young team legs. You can't give an opportunity to run.
Definitely. Yeah, they'll definitely find easy buckets. Another thing that could go wrong.
Yeah.
Could we be looking at a George Hill audition game?
I don't know, man. The Marcus Morris one was great audition. Marcus Morris nailed his audition for the Clippers when he was on the Knicks.
If you're unfamiliar with the audition game, essentially any player who is highly linked in trade talks to the Clippers, when they play the Clippers, tends to go off.
They have a good audition.
Yeah.
They nail it.
Yeah. And George Hill is, I mean, probably the noisiest of names of possible
it's
trades,
the most
right?
tangible one that makes any ounce of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows? That could hold true, which takes us into our key matchups. Who should we be looking for in this one, Chuck?
Shea versus Bev.
Ooh.
This is going to be so fun.
I feel like they're both going to have one single tier.
Yeah, the whole time. What a reunion for these guys. Hope Bev can kind of avoid his early fouls so Shea doesn't kind of abuse our backup guards, which I think could happen. Shea's averaging 21-5-6. Doing a whole hell of a lot for the Thunder. But I think there's going to be, you know, we switch a lot. Shea's going to have to see Kawhi. Shea's going to have to see Paul George. Like, I don't know, man. I'm also just like, I'm not sure who on their team is going to stop Kawhi and Paul George.
Dort, baby.
Maybe. He legitimately is the one where I'm like, okay, Dort can maybe, but like, one of our guys is going to go off.
I would think so. I would hope so. As I alluded to previously, like, they don't really have a lot going on at center, so I'm curious
to
see.
Their bench isn't crazy strong.
Yeah, how Isaiah Roby is going to match
up
with...
Dude, he had to play against Jokic in the last game, and I watched some of the highlights, and he was not having a good time.
Yeah, he had to play Jarrett Allen, too, when he was still on the Nets.
He's 6'8".
Yeah.
They're starting a 6'8 guy at center right now. Muscala's obviously on the bench. Shout out Mike Muscala for existing just so we got Zubats.
Yeah, still surprised he's still on the Thunder.
Yeah, and not getting playing time. No, I mean, like, look, I don't want to take... We can't take these games lightly, obviously. But the Clippers are in a position to probably get to a 6-game winning streak and hopefully maybe get to that 7-game winning streak. The personnel, it's just like... It doesn't match up anywhere.
No.
On paper, it's just not something that... We can absolutely win these two games, and I think last year I'd be a lot more nervous about them than I am now. They're not a lock by any means, but we've seen this team do some different things, you know, than last year with coming against teams that we quote-unquote should beat and stuff. So what gives me a lot of confidence is the way that we kind of picked apart Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana. Ty Lue's going to have their guys in the right spots. And if we don't win the first game, there's no way in hell we lose the second game, right?
Like, totally. Well, and that's the thing. Like, obviously, you can't take any matchup for granted or any team lightly. I'm just constantly reminded of the game where Philadelphia had no Embiid And no Simmons.
We shake about 50 points.
Yeah, and we nearly lost that one. But if we're treating this the right way, I mean, these could be two, and I don't mean this to sound derogatory because it's not, but these could be two really good tune-up games.
Yeah, where, small ball lineup stuff.
Yeah, yeah, where like, if you, I mean, you still want to play crisp, you still want to bring your best stuff, but it's an opportunity to get to experiment a little bit with a little bit of a safety net. No offense to the Thunder.
I know what,
But like, it's an opportunity to kind of, throw up something new on the canvas, but you still got to keep it reined in.
Got to keep it tight.
Yeah, got to keep it tight.
We'll have recaps of both these games for y'all on the Monday episode. Coming up, we're going to be revisiting a classic What You Say Wednesday poll about the Clippers figuring it out. But first, we have to give a shout out to betonline.ag. Hope y'all are ready for some football. Hope you're ready for the Lions' new head coach. Campbell, it was very fired up at the press conference.
A lot of loss of kneecaps.
A lot of, man, people are going to be losing kneecaps in Detroit. If there's bets on how many kneecaps per game are going to be lost on the Detroit Lions, I'll tell you where they have the line. It's betonline.ag. Go ahead and bet on that. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. Someone on Twitter today asked us actually how they could put money on Kawhi winning MVP. He's plus 4,000 right now.
Yeah.
So
put $10 down on betonline.ag.
Put $400. But yeah, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. One more time, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with segment two, and we're kind of talking just if the Clippers have figured it out.
Yes.
As a preface, Charles and I talked coming into this season about, you know, what it would look like with a shortened offseason, you know, next to no training camp, how many games it would possibly take for the Clippers to look, I mean, essentially like they're looking right now.
Yeah, it was kind of like how long as fans are you going to be like, okay, this experiment is seemingly working, you know, all this other stuff. And man, so the choices were 0-5 games, 6-10, 11-15, and then 15+. The Clippers sit at 11-4, which obviously, you know, the 18% of people who voted for the 0-5 games, they got to be psyched. The people who voted the 6-10 range also have to be psyched. That actually won with just under 44% of the vote. And then it was evenly split between 11-15 and 15+. But I'll tell you, I didn't think we'd be at 11-4 after 15 games.
No, I didn't either. I was a little bit, I don't want to say pessimistic.
Like the difference isn't, like, I didn't think we'd be like 8-7.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't think we'd be 11-4 looking like
this. I thought we
might
be 8-7.
That's fair.
Just given obviously the illness, or not the illness, but
I was like, whoa!
The absence of Morris, as well as, you know, the absence of any real sort of training camp or anything, like I said up top, I was firmly in the 15 range. But it does look like we're getting it pretty figured out.
The good processes are there for the most part. I haven't seen any, now that I'm thinking about it, there were bad processes last season. There's not a whole lot of bad process that hasn't been fixed.
If you would have told me, you know, like 10 games in, we would be running a 3-guard lineup and we would make a conscious decision that would be voiced to the public
based on data
that it was no longer working, I would have said, wow, that sounds like a really smart idea. Sign me up for that.
Yeah. If you would have told me we were making halftime adjustments, I would have said, but you might be onto something there. So does this make people maybe, is this going to make it harder when maybe there are some hiccups? There's been one hiccup and it was the 50-point loss. And aside from that, there hasn't been a, and look again, it's only been 15 games.
Yes.
But there just haven't been, I guess I was more prepared for some, maybe a little more doom and gloom.
Yeah, totally. And you know, it is still a long season, remains to be seen. Just the way that we're looking right now, I would be very surprised if we lost, like, we didn't lose 3 games in a row last year.
Good point.
Do you think that this current Clippers team could go through a stretch where they would lose 3 in a row?
I'd have to look at the back half of the schedule.
Which doesn't exist. Assuming no back-to-backs.
Probably not. I don't see us losing more than 3 in a row.
Yeah, I really don't either. Has anything surprised you that's been working early? Obviously, we talked about adjustments, but
It's really just been the adjustments on the ball movement.
It's the ball movement for me. It's the ball movement for me 100%.
I think 98% of people, if we asked what surprised them the most, it'd be ball movement. It'd probably be, I don't know, Zubats playing distributed minutes evenly. Like, we just hadn't seen that.
Zubats is playing less good than I thought it would be.
For
which
sure.
Which is also surprising me.
Yeah, which just kind of sucked. But like, no, it's the ball movement. It's just the guys just generally look like they're having a more enjoyable time.
Definitely. Definitely.
I'm very surprised at Nick Batum. That's got to be up there.
Not me, baby. I knew this was coming.
Are there any problems that we didn't think would be issues that are issues that we've seen through 15 games? Again, only been 15 games.
So I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried randomly about, not even randomly, but about our guard depth.
I think it's a shuffle that I'm worried about. I think the depth is there. It's just where the pieces are fitting.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know. Just with the Lou Will stuff, I'm worried about injury. With Pat, I'm perpetually worried about injury. And then when you get past those two names, I mean, I like Kennard. I talked about this yesterday, but his role is a lot different than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they would have confidence in him, like,
I think Kennard will see maybe some playoff minutes. I think if he can show that he's a little more willing to be a scorer,
yeah,
I think that makes him playable over Lou Will.
And he is,
I think
he is fitting in better, especially like the last few games.
And everyone wants him to shoot more on the team. Everyone's like, dude, we know you're good.
Yeah,
shoot the ball.
Yeah,
but that's just stuff that's got to get figured out. It's like there's these good problems to get figured out.
Definitely.
And the problems we've had have been fixed. The three guard. Like we mentioned, the horrible three-guard lineup got fixed.
Yeah.
He's staggering Luke and Lou Kennard. He's staggering Bev with the second unit, like he is being Ty Lue. And Kawhi and PG are getting rotated well. Like, I don't know, man. It's tough to not be pretty content. Even if we were 9-6, if it looked like it does now, I think I would feel the same.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is guys are communicating.
Yeah.
Which, it's so weird that we have to be like, you know, guys are communicating. That's a good
guys
sign.
Guys are talking.
That's a baseline for good team activity.
I think that's such a good point because that is a microcosm of everything. It's all of these basic things. The players like each other. The guys are communicating. There is accountability. There's data being used to make decisions. There's all of these baseline things where you're like, yeah, this is what a modern / any NBA team should be doing.
I just kind of feel like I'm saying the equivalent of the team that scores the most points will most likely win.
Yeah, like it feels like that, dude. But it's been a breath of fresh air, and I think I'm going to start paying attention to, and this is just as a fan and as someone who gets to do Clippers content itself, I need to start digging in more about what the assistant coaches are doing. I don't mean that in a way that I like don't think they're doing anything.
You got to keep tabs on them. I definitely feel
I want to make sure they're not just twiddling their thumbs in the office. No, I'm excited to see more of their influence.
Dan, what you doing, buddy?
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson is just like doing a bunch of office pranks. So yeah, I think I want to ask maybe some more questions to Ty Lue about in the presser, just like what other influence, because he kind of has overshadowed the assistant coaches, which I think is good. You know, we talked about how there might be too many cooks with the assistant coaches. We haven't seen that yet.
Oh, another thing that I want to improve.
Yeah.
Paul George's assist to turnover ratio.
Yeah. Okay. I'm putting that on. That's situational. He's never been asked to do this much distribution wise. So I think it'll get better.
I hope so too. I mean, look, I'm not dogging on the guy. We're talking about where there's room for improvement.
I'm fired up, dude. I'm ready to. No, I'm pretty psyched. I would give Ty Lue an A grade through 15 games. I think it's hard to give him anything else.
B.
For what are the points off? Handwriting?
Worst loss in franchise history.
See, I would give him points for that because we made it out of it stronger. No, it's been fantastic. I think we got to have Evan from Locked on Cavs on again.
Yes,
to let
definitely.
Us know if this is like a honeymoon phase and things might get a little more tinkery. Because also, Ty Lue's tinkering has been pretty good so far. We haven't seen anything where we've been like, never do this again. Three-guard lineup aside, which did get fixed.
Yes.
There hasn't been...
And it was also just, I mean, it was
part
kind
of was necessity.
It was dependent on the personnel that we had available.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a good time to be a Clipper fan right now. It always is, but now it feels a little more especially.
It's looking better than expected through, through 15 games.
Yeah. Coming up on Shavings, We got a whole mess of stuff. We're talking MVP odds. Will has a conspiracy theory that I 100% agree with. And then we are playing some Love, Marry, Quarantine.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, which is just where we wrap up everything else that's going on. So,
conspiracy. We got to start with the conspiracy.
We got
to start with the conspiracy.
Okay.
Because so, I agree with this 100%.
Okay, so I could not shake this thought the other day.
You told me that you woke up frightened.
I woke up just like that.
Yeah.
obviously the full schedule has not been released yet.
Because of the pandemic.
But we played the Lakers on opening night. We are not scheduled to play them again anytime during the release schedule. We're definitely going to play them four times this season.
Yeah.
So is this going to be a situation where we end up playing the Lakers like three fucking times in 2 weeks at the end of the season, the last 2 weeks of the season?
Yes. It definitely is going to be that.
They're
going to try and hype people up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're probably going
to
be...
And they want to give the Lakers a chance to figure us out.
Yeah. Maybe we'll sneak into the playoffs this year. Who knows? No, this is going to be a situation where, yeah, we play them like three times in a month. And it's going to be when Kawhi stops playing back-to-backs, because I kind of don't really want him to, if I'm being honest. No, this is a conspiracy. This is lame as hell. And the first time we played them was the ring ceremony. So everyone was like, oh, well, it's real hard to win a basketball game after you get your ring. And you're like,
is it?
Okay, I guess. I don't know.
Why would it be harder?
I don't know. Everyone was like, you're so excited. And you're like,
wouldn't it be easier?
So you'd be hyped up. Well, of course, you know, we'll figure that out next season, hopefully. But no, this is a conspiracy theory that I tip my tinfoil cap to, because I agree with it. There's only like four conspiracy theories I really mess with. Hit me up at Charles Mock on Twitter if you want to find out which ones, because I'm not going to talk about it on this podcast. But this is one of them.
Also, if you have any thoughts on what's going on with this NBA scheduling, why we are only scheduled to play the Lakers once so far
in the schedule. Give us a tangible reason why. It's a ratings boost. There's no reason we only play them one time in the first half of
it. It makes no sense. But let us know at Locked On Clips what you think.
At Locked On Clips. We're also going to be starting at Locked On Conspiracy pretty soon. Speaking of another conspiracy, actually, the MVP betting odds are all kinds of disrespectful. Look, I love betonline.ag. I've won money on that website. I maybe have lost money on that website. But the thing, so here's the MVP odds right now for the NBA regular season, most valuable player. Luka Doncic has the best odds at plus 425. The Mavs are at 500. Makes absolutely no sense. Giannis is at plus 600. Seems kind of fair. Hard to win it three times in a row, you know, like that's difficult. Durant is plus 475. Sure. I'm fine with that. Bet $100, win $475, Kevin Durant.
Kind of a, you know, a return season.
Makes
good
a lot more
good
sense.
Narrative there.
All of these make more sense than Luka at plus 425. Jokic, plus 550. Great player. Again, the Nuggets are 500. LeBron is plus 600. Sure. Okay. Kawhi Leonard, his odds for MVP per betonline.ag, if you bet $100 on Kawhi Leonard to win MVP today, you would win $4,000. And if you bet $100 on PG to win MVP, you would win $10,000.
Absurd.
Kawhi is averaging 25, 5, and 6 on 50, 45, and 88. Paul George is averaging 24, 6, and 6 on 51, 50, and 91. What are these guys got to do? This is insane. We're the best team in the NBA with offensive rating.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
I don't know. I truly, it's
baffling.
It's laughable.
It is. I don't get it, man. And I guess splitting votes is a thing, but plus 4,000 for Kawhi, like.
Well,
and the record is good. We have a better record than any other team on this list.
Yeah.
Save for the Lakers, but they're playing right now, so they're probably gonna lose. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't get it. And the splitting the votes thing to me, like I've said that before in reference to like these guys will probably never win an MVP on the Clippers.
Yeah.
But like, how is the same not true for LeBron and AD?
Yeah, very good point. Yeah. It's that Clippers bias. But since we're talking the MVP race, and the MVP race does seem to be more narrative based for some voters, from here on out, what can Paul George and Kawhi Leonard do to help their narrative? This is our Love, Marry, Quarantine. So we've got some great options. We have Kawhi Leonard starts giving out handwritten thank you notes to each player that he gets a steal from. It's just a good guy move right there. Paul George starts teaching driver's ed classes in his free time and Palmdale.
Oh, you know, yeah.
That's a nice narrative.
Yeah.
And then PG and Kawhi team up to do a couple of things. They put out a children's book called It's Okay to Be the Best, How to Be a Quiet Superstar. It actually does sound like a pretty good children's book. And then the Will Updike special, they start a yacht rock band.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Called the...
Palmdale Breeze.
Palmdale Breeze, Kawhi PG and the... I mean, Kawhi PG and the Clippers sounds like a yacht rock band.
That, it honestly does.
Surge on bass? Who plays drums?
Funky K.
Who's Funky K?
That's Kawhi.
Oh, dude. Does he sing while he's playing drums?
Oh, too? Yeah. Like the best.
So we got Surge on bass, Kawhi on drums, Paul George just singing.
He shreds. He shreds a little too.
Okay, so he's playing guitar. So that's it. It's a three-man band?
Yeah. Maybe Kennard on keys?
I think Kennard on keys works. So which of these love you, love and marry in quarantine? I'm already loving the Yacht Rock one. I'm just getting mine out of the way.
I'm marrying the Yacht Rock band.
Kawhi PG and the Clippers. Dude, yeah.
Smooth Palmdale Breeze. Yeah. I love it. I love everything about it.
I don't think anyone's ever described a Palmdale Breeze as smooth.
I love the idea.
Sharp breezes over there in Palmdale.
I love the idea of them wearing, you know, like... muted pastel and neon colors.
Ascots?
But maybe, man. They get funky over there.
I don't
know
what's going on in the Yacht Rock band. All right, so which one are you loving?
I'm loving the children's book. Yeah. I think that How to Be a Quiet Superstar, that's a good one. It's okay to be the best is, that's a lesson everyone needs to learn.
We're all the best at something.
Frankly, took too long for me to learn that one. And I'm going to quarantine. I'm going to quarantine the thank you notes just because. I don't know. I feel like no one. I feel like that's just too. That feels extra disrespectful.
See, so I'm loving the Yacht Rock band for obvious reasons. It's a great idea. I would pay money to go see that show. Obviously, they ran out the Queen Mary. They play on the deck.
Oh my God, of course.
I'm marrying the thank you notes thing.
Okay.
Because it would be something that I think Kawhi would do in such a Kawhi way that we'd only know about it because they'd be like, oh yeah, remember when Kawhi, like, yeah, he started giving out thank you. Like, it'd be on like a, it'd be on the All the Smoke podcast where some player's like, you know, I just want to know something crazy. A lot of people don't know this. Kawhi Leonard started doing handwritten thank you notes, players that get steals. So people are like, that's so dope. They never told anyone about it.
No, but I feel like that would get like conflagrated in the media to like cocky Clippers send note after steals. Like I feel like that would be
bad for the whole.
Yeah, it would be the only thing you'd hear about in the Clippers news cycle for the next 3 weeks.
If we win the championship, I hope he does it.
Okay, fair enough.
And I don't think I'm gonna quarantine any of these.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Paul George teaching driver's ed in Palmdale would be fun.
I think that idea is very fun.
Really big car. Gotta be a big car.
Seems like they use kind of more smart cars or hybrid cars over here.
Wonder if you get a deal. Wonder if they like lease them out.
A whole fleet.
Whole fleet for driver's ed. This is a tangent. People in California, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming most of the people who listen, actually know most people who listen to this are in California. Fun fact about Montana, when Will and I were growing up, I don't know how it was in Colstrip, but in Missoula, Montana, I got my driver's license at 14 and a half.
Yeah, same.
What a time. What a horrible law.
Yeah.
What a bad decision by the state government.
They changed it
the year after I got mine to like regular rules where it was like you can't be, and I'm not talking a learner's permit because of like agriculture stuff and like young people having to drive big machinery.
No restrictions on the license.
No restrictions. You just go, 14 and a half, me and my Delta 88, Oldsmobile 88, just being irresponsible. What a good time.
Just cruising for a bruising. What kind of car did you learn, did your driver's ed have?
I learned in like a weird, like a Chevy HHR. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Like the weird kind of like PT Cruiser looking thing. I had the thing going like 85 because I had a driver's ed teacher who told me you were legally allowed to go 10 miles an hour with a speed limit if you were passing somebody.
Yeah, that's a rule in Montana. That's a law.
All right. I don't know if it was universal, but I did that a bunch.
Yeah. I mean, I did it all
Montana
the time.
Also used to not have a speed limit.
Yeah. That was before my time, though. I learned in a van. There was one van for the whole county.
Are you sure it was a driver's ed class?
for the whole county, there is one van. And I'm pretty sure the driver's ed teacher, who was also the PE teacher,
that checks out.
Drove that home at the end of the night. He also, like...
That guy deserves a golden apple, which is the award for the best teacher in the state, I believe.
Yeah, probably. He's a good dude. Shout out Stroby.
dude, he sounds like a PE teacher / driver's ed teacher.
He also... I thought it was ironic that he taught driver safety because always in the summer, he'd go no seatbelt. Huge dip in.
I'll tell you one thing about Montana. They do not like seatbelts.
It's weird.
Very sad. It makes absolutely no sense. We got to get out of here. Monday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the Clippers versus Thunder games. We're going to be at the Freshies, where we talk new players about playing basketball for the Los Angeles Clippers. And then we are going to be announcing the winner of the Batum Battalion Boutique Bompetition, if you will.
Oh.
That's going to be on Monday's episode. We're going to put it out on Twitter. We might pick multiple shirts. We're going to make 25 of them. We're going to give them away. We'll figure out how we're going to give them away. Maybe people DM us and ask. I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't figured this out yet. We got to...
That's why we have the weekend. and then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can listen to us. Also, thanks for listening to us.
Yeah,
7 a.m. we drop. Where does this podcast come out?
So you can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts, platform agnostic over here. You can listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer. You can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It works. It's very easy. yeah, as Chuck said, you can check us out 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. We'd love to have you. If you like what we're doing over here, feel free to leave a review. It doesn't cost a thing.
It don't cost a thing. Thank y'all so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.